Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back in Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we start our third and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. We've got to talk some Tigers, and we do it at this time every Thursday afternoon with Greg Gaston.
From the Tigers sideline, it's Tigers Talk with Memphis broadcasting legend Greg Gaston. Hear Greg weekday mornings on Sports 56 Mornings along with Eli Savoy from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. On Twitter X at Greg_Gaston. Here's Greg with Bryant and Brett.
Greg Gaston joins us now to talk all things Tigers and a lot to discuss with a lot happening over the last week. But let's start with the news of the day. It was reported earlier by Jason Munns that Steve Wright, the assistant at Missouri, will be joining Memphis's staff in the same role as an assistant coach. So now, four assistant coaches that Penny Hardaway has added this offseason. What did you make of that news earlier this morning?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Well, the first thing is that there's four assistant coaches. We knew they were going to hire a fourth, but in years past, it's always been three. So you got four full-time assistant coaches. You have a general manager. They still have to hire a strength and conditioning coach, a director of ops as far as video. That has to be hired. So it looks like even though there was a lot of changes with the staff, they've actually added some pieces to the staff. And this gentleman comes after the 1 year at Missouri, as you mentioned, Brian, a couple of years before that at Duquesne. I don't know a ton about Steve Wright, again, from what I read, which was also with Jason Munn's story, because I don't believe the school has released anything official. It seems like a guy that's certainly capable of doing a good job. What he is an expert in, if there's a certain area that he's an expertise in, I don't know. But I would imagine that all these coaches outside of Tony Madlock will be the associate head coach. They'll all have these areas of expertise. It wouldn't make any sense to hire three guys that are all similar in stature. So you want to get guys that do something different. One maybe works better with the bigs. One works better with the guards. One's more of a shooting coach. So I don't really know what the breakup is with these guys or the breakdown with these guys is, but all I know is having four assistant coaches now plus a general manager just adds to how many voices will be in that locker room.
And Greg, a lot of people during the course of last year with both with attendance and some other budget stories, the ticket story, the money generated, you know, a lot of us were scared, oh, no, you know, they might, you know, have to be forced to be, you know, super frugal. What's anything but that? And that speaks to Dr. Scott of let's give him everything he needs, rally everybody and try to win.
There'll be areas that they'll probably be frugal with. Who knows if it could affect a way they travel, maybe not consistently. They're still going to charter and all that stuff, but maybe there's one that they decide, okay, we'll bus instead. I don't know that for sure, but I'm still thinking that, yes, they have to be careful, especially around the edges from a financial standpoint. But you're right, Brad. They're not going to step back.
They
didn't
go cheap.
They're going to move forward. Right. Absolutely. They're going to move forward. They know that they are as competitive with anybody in the group of five, or now, if you want to stretch it out, the group of six, and in mid-majors when it comes to basketball terminology, that they know they're as strong as any of them from a financial standpoint. They want to continue to keep those options open. They also understand, look, they're not playing with the big boys from a financial standpoint, but it doesn't mean that you can't put together a team with the right moves that not only play hard on the court, but win a lot of games and succeed even in the postseason. And that's what the hope is. What you're trying to find, you're like the coupon cutter. You're trying to find the bargain and still come up with a great meal from all the things you purchased at the store for the same amount that somebody else did. It's just being able to find the gems, the hidden gems. But I think from a financial standpoint, like I said, for teams in their category, for their teams at the same level from a financial standpoint, they're always going to be right there or at the top of all of them.
Yeah, and if they had gone, I'm going to use that word again, if the signal had gone out, they're going cheap, that kills you in recruiting. That kills you in the NIL marketplace. And it says to your fans, well, if they don't care any more than this, why should I? They're doing the opposite, and I think it should be noted, and it has been.
Yeah, because if not, it's waving the white flag, and
yeah,
you certainly don't want to be
can't
doing
quit.
That. So I think you're right, Brett. I think that they are showing everybody that even though it was tough times last year, we know it's going to get better, and we're going to continue to commit.
Absolutely. Last week when we talked with you, it was the day that Fred Smith Jr. committed to Memphis from Briarcrest. And then yesterday, another high school commitment also from Briarcrest, Parker Pounds, announced his commitment after he was committed to Air Force, flipping to Memphis. You had Parker Pounds on the show earlier this morning on Sports 56 Mornings. A really nice interview. Sounds like a really great
Thank
kid.
You.
What did you make of that addition and kind of what role he will play moving forward for the Tigers?
It's really a great story because he wasn't on the radar for Memphis when he signed with Air Force. And as people know or should know that with Air Force and Navy and Army, there's no NIL per se. So here's a kid that just loves playing basketball, looked at his options, decided to go to Air Force, a great institution. And then all of a sudden, the coaching changes that they made, the coach came in and said, listen, we're going to put all you guys in the portal. You decide what you want to do. And then once that word got out, here comes schools contacting Parker, and Penny Hardaway now jumps into the fray. He gives them a call. They may have had a Zoom meeting. He hasn't met him in person yet. I think he's going to do that in the next couple of days. But why wouldn't you look at a guy that was part of a state championship team two out of the last 3 years and shot 48% from three this past season, and over the course of the last couple of years shot about 47%, and that's a high percentage of shots taken. We're not talking about a guy who shot 20 times from beyond the arc. So at 6'5", he's also got size. So this isn't just a little guy who's a pretty good shooter. This is a 6'5" athletic guy who knows he has to get stronger. I'm told by his coach that he often defended the best perimeter of guards that he faced. That says a lot. And he also
sure
has blocked a lot of shots. So he's very athletic. But he's got a ways to go. Not sure exactly. Again, this is all they're assembling this team right now. Who knows what the game plan is? In the long run, they're hoping that he could be a deadly three-point shooter to help this team out. Whether or not that's right off the bat in the first year, I don't know. But I think it's great. And I think, again, that we're having a change back to the local guys. Penny's not going to get all local guys. And it doesn't mean that always means success. But at least he's now looking at trying to bring in the top players in the area because it just makes sense. These guys, not all of them, but a lot of these guys want to play for the home team. They want to play in front of the friends and the family and their former coaches. And they just feel good about representing the city through the school, playing for that team. So I'm very happy for Parker. I got to know him on the interview today. I didn't really know him beforehand, but talking with Coach Harrington a lot here, especially over the last few weeks, I got to know both he and Fred Smith with these radio interviews we did.
Greg, I promise you, I can take a picture and send it to you in my notes. Ask Greg. You've already addressed it. And I'm a little bit stereotyping his right now slider frame, but as you said, he will and can grow and fill out a little more, fully expect him to, and put the hard work in. But in my notes, who's he going to guard? And you tell me he guarded the best.
Right. He was, again, that's high school. Now it's college. You know,
that's
he's
right.
Taking it up a level. But you're right. He's a thin kid. He's 6'5". He's got to put weight on. He's got to get stronger. And then we'll see what happens. But I don't think, again, nobody knows right now what will happen with all these guys. But I don't think this is, well, you know, one of the top three or four recruits that Penny is bringing in. But this is a guy he thinks in time can help them. So I think it's a great acquisition. It's a really good story. And we'll see. Maybe he becomes one of those great three-point shooters that we see in college basketball.
Greg, I don't know if today, in the middle of April, is the best time for this discussion. It will be before the season gets here, and don't want to put undue pressure on, but I do like the Memphis angle. But I said this yesterday when Brian and I were in discussion about it. There will be pressure on these Memphis players, maybe unlike any pressure on a local player ever, because it's pressure on the biggest basketball figure in the one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the history of Memphis in a year he has to win.
Yeah, getting back to where they once were is very important for this team this upcoming season. to be able to do that. And I asked Fred, I asked him directly, do you feel that pressure? I'm trying to remember what he said, but he's so easygoing. He's more introverted. So I don't think it really fazed him. Again, I don't know the exact.
Oh, to be 19, too.
Exactly. And look, I like the fact that there's teammates that played together. Then both of those guys have known Cello since he was in sixth grade. They played all on the AAU circuit. So there's that camaraderie between those three guys. Again, it's just part of the puzzle. They brought in a couple of other players. They got a couple of coming back. There's still a lot of players that they need to get, because this team is far from a finished product. I mean, if they threw that team out there with the guys they have right now, they would probably take their hits. It would take a while for this team to be competitive. It's going to take more players, and we'll see which direction Penny goes in. But I like the initial moves. I do like those moves. But I think, to your point, Brett, sure, anytime you're representing the city, not just the university, not just the program, but you're representing the city as a Memphian. You want to put your best foot forward, and hopefully those guys can do that.
Mm-hmm. You talk about those additions. Two portal pickups for Penny Hardaway, both on the same day. The first one, Ruhards Vavers from Washington State, and then Brandon Cummings from Pittsburgh. Two different players, one a smaller guard, the other a lanky forward. What did you make of those two additions?
Well, first of all, Vavers, I love that pickup. The guy's 6'7", and he shoots 41% from three.
Sounds like an Iowa player. I knew you'd like it, Greg.
Oh my gosh! The only thing he's missing is the buzz cut. You know, give me a couple of those guys that can shoot that high a percentage. So I really love that. And I'm telling you, everything that I heard, I didn't really know a lot about Cummings. I didn't watch Pitt one time, I'll be honest with you, this season. But reading from what other people said, they really think this guy can be an instant contributor. Now, I know there was talk when it was announced a couple days ago that this guy's probably a point. He's not a point guard. I'm looking at his numbers. He averaged one assist, 1.5 assists. This guy is a two guard. This guy, and he's not a high percentage 3-point shooter. I think he's a real quick guy on the court, can get to the hole, but can stick the jumper. He has huge gains for Pitt. He averaged nearly 13 per game before he got hurt. I don't like the fact that he got hurt. But the fact that he has that experience of playing in the ACC, I love it. And he has a lot of confidence in himself. He goes by the nickname Biba. So I'm going to guess right now that's one of your two guards, and we'll see what Penny does with that point guard, which we know is so important to get the right point guard. But I like both those signings, to be honest with you, because one, again, the 3-point shoot, you can't have enough 3-point shooting. Hopefully they get a couple more of those guys. But I do like the ability, the athleticism, and the potential of this Brandon Biba Cummings.
Yeah, no, I like that addition as well. I think both could play a huge role. So you've got kind of a lanky shooter. You've got kind of a more combo guard type player. What do you think the next move is? Obviously a lot of spots to still fill. But what, when you look at this, is kind of the next big need for this team?
Physicality, big physical players. Whether it be a center who can shoot the three or not, I really don't care. I want centers or power forwards that are physical, going to move you out of the paint. Look, I'm not saying they're getting the guys that we saw with Michigan and the Final Four teams, but you saw how important those bigs are. And they are, according to several reports out there, going for the most money in the portal, even more than the point guard, which is surprising to some people. But Memphis needs to address that. Now, I know you've asked me before, Brian, about the Bradshaw story, and I thought, well, the last week we talked, probably the next few days you'll know his intentions. We still don't know. Yeah. Now, again, Munz had said that he doesn't believe he'll be back. I'm going to go with what Jason is saying.
Earth to Bradshaw, give us an answer.
No, he hasn't officially jumped in the portal yet. Now, the portal closes on the 21st, so what are we, 5 days away? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. So I'm not going to close the door on that guy coming back, but if he does, they have to get a power forward next to him that's just really physical. And if he doesn't come back, yeah, you're going to need some scoring from the bigs. But please, to me, it's more of the athletic, physical big guy rather than the finesse big that's trying to step out and shoot threes all the time and doesn't want to bang and has bad hands. Go and just get me some guy who's going to throw you out of the paint. That's what I want to see. Because I always say, you give me a point guard who is incredible with his handles, doesn't turn the ball over, It has more a pass-first attitude, but can score. I want him to start. I want that big, powerful, power forward slash center, just a big brute, and then give me about three or four three-point shooters, and I'll fill in the rest. Mm-hmm. And right now they're kind of taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, they are. All right, Greg, give us what you're hearing on the two dream wish list guys, Wagner and Brumbaugh, and give me your best scheduling rumor story you can tell.
So Brumbaugh is definitely in the mix. The problem is that he's also being courted by big programs. Mm-hmm. And with big programs comes big money. So that will be interesting. Obviously, there's a connection with the assistant coach that was brought in that had coached there at Tulane. Not out of the question. It's not out of the question yet. We haven't seen him commit to anybody else as of this moment, but I think he's in the mix. DJ Wagner, I don't know. I wasn't really on that radar, and then I heard a lot of things, and I know he visited Villanova. The connection, of course, obviously, with his dad having played at Memphis and his grandfather having coached on Calipari's staff. I could be wrong. I don't see it. I would like it, but I don't see it with DJ. But yeah, Brumbaugh is a possibility. As far as the schedule is concerned, there are still a couple of things that need to be announced. I'll just say this. I don't think it's out of the question at this point that Memphis could play in one of those tournaments that they've played in like seemingly every year. So keep that in the back of your mind. Obviously, we'll see what happens with St. Jude and that classic, but they're going to play in that. And from everything I've heard, it's going to be a regular season doubleheader. So that would be another, I would imagine, prominent opponent. Mm-hmm. So that's on the radar, too. I know they haven't announced where the is it the Dayton game, Bryant, that they haven't announced the neutral court for?
Right, yeah. It sounds like that's going to be a doubleheader, too, with USF. I forgot who they're playing as part of it as well. But it sounds like it's going to be same site, doubleheader type deal.
Yeah, and the site I heard was Chicago, but I haven't heard anything since. So we'll see what happens. But that schedule, already daunting, is going to be even more so. And what's interesting is every time he puts together these schedules, which we love that he does, you hope, though, that you can get enough of the really good teams coming to FedEx Forum. But Penny's always going to put together a tough schedule. And more than likely, Penny's going to have to put together a new team every single year. Hopefully, it'll be some guys that'll hang around. We know that at least two's hanging around from last season. But not unlike football, which has a completely new team with a completely new coaching staff, they have a daunting schedule. So this 2026-2027 scholastic year is going to be extremely important, and I think it's going to be extremely entertaining. The possibilities, if these teams both pan out, how good they could be, then again, they could be bad. We just don't know. I have a lot of faith in Charles Huff that it's going to be a really good football team. And I like what, again, so far, what Penny is doing with the help of Gabriel Harris as the new GM and other staff members, slowly but surely putting together a team that has to go out there and win the conference. I mean, that is an absolute must.
Greg, it's almost like you've done this talk radio and sports talk thing for a while. You were able to weave football and basketball together, and they are and one would help the other. Imagine the air of good feeling around town. Coach Huff starts 3-0. Vegas, Arkansas State, Boise State. A rising tide lifts all boats, and a happy feeling around town. That would redound to Penny starting his season.
Yeah, absolutely, Brett. I mean, I think one will lead to the other. It puts a lot of smiles on Tigers fans' faces. Look, there's going to be, I would think, an increase in football attendance for the fact that there's going to be a lot of people that will be now on the new side that's renovated in those club boxes up there in the suites. The suites are all sold out. I think people are going to, even that are on the other side, are going to come to be able to walk around and see what is being constructed. So there's going to be that. There's going to be the curiosity factor, but also the curiosity factor of how good this coach can be, who has won everywhere he's gone, and he doesn't lack confidence. The question is, again, with all these new players, will they mesh right away and be good from the get-go when they play, as you just mentioned, a rugged schedule, the non-conference and the conference? And we'll see, because I think if you do well in that, more people will come out to the subsequent games thereafter. And then I think that will also electrify people to want to go and see basketball to keep things going.
It's the best marketing plan. People love a winner.
People, yeah, this just in, breaking news. Get the breaking news sounder there, Landon. But, yeah, I think one can lead into the other.
Chet Huntley reporting live from WHBQ Studios.
But again, I mean, look, there are people that are just, hey, we're just football fans. Or there's people, hey, we're just basketball fans. But most people are sports fans, and it crosses over, and they're also supporters of their university, their college, whatever it may be. So if you got winners, they're going to come out and support. And this is, look, it's a huge year for Memphis athletics. We know it. Everybody knows it.
We were talking Mike Trout earlier, and I said I think he's from your neighborhood.
Yes.
How far Millville, New Jersey from you?
30 miles. We played the same league. Same league.
Is that right?
But Mike Trout was after me, but yeah, same league.
May ever faced his dad or anyone?
No, I don't think so. I'll have to look up the tree find out. But here's the thing, and it's funny because I'm watching highlights right now of today hitting another home run. Mike Trout is revered in South Jersey and Philadelphia. He's beloved. I always had hoped that maybe one day he would leave that godforsaken place in Anaheim and come to Philadelphia
where we could watch him play.
Talk about the support, though. Not the support from the fans. They, of course, love him, but his support for that organization. Mm-hmm. He could have left a million different times, and he's still there. I just hope he stays healthy, because if he stays healthy, he's putting up huge numbers, obviously a future Hall of Famer. But it was fun, actually, to keep an eye on what was going on between the Yankees and the Angels. The Yankees and the Angels. Well, all the home runs hit between Trout and Judge today.
Yeah. And
the last three, 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Give me the cutoff from your area to Philly, maybe even Orioles fans, and then how far north of you to Yankees, Mets fans?
Oh, so it's crazy in this area where I come from. It's crazy. Okay, so South Jersey, they're Phillies fans. You go to Philadelphia, it's an hour, or if you're going from like Wildwood, Cape May, maybe an hour and a half, maybe at the most. Although you can cut down the angle a little bit. But that's South Jersey is all Philadelphia fans. You go past Trenton and East, and you go up the seaboard, up to where the Jersey Shore is, you know, the guys on the Snookies of the world. Now you're starting to get into Yankees fans. You go over to...
Do they own a collared shirt, any of them?
I think they all own one. I think it's by law they own one. You go into the boroughs now, it's different. You go into Queens, you go into Long Island. They're Mets fans. But Manhattan, the Bronx, maybe even Staten Island could be mixed. They're Yankees fans. But then you go certainly upstate, you got Yankees fans. But you start to go really upstate in New York, and you're going toward New England. Now you're getting into the Red Sox area. Yeah.
So now, nobody from Jersey is an Orioles fan.
No. Nobody, but you cross the Delaware Memorial Bridge, you get into Delaware, now you're closing in on Baltimore. Now you're Orioles fans. Now you go past Baltimore, you go down to Washington. Well, now they have the Nationals, so they finally fall in love with the Nationals. Here's the other one. Here's
Zany Delmarva is the weathermen call it.
Delmarva's mixed because Delmarva's got Dover, Delaware, which are Phillies fans. They have Salisbury, Maryland, where I did TV for 10 years. They are definitely Orioles fans, Redskins, now Commanders fans. You go down into Virginia, they're still Orioles fans. Orioles have still a lot of fans in Virginia, but now there's new national fans. And then Pennsylvania is crazy because only about, an hour and a half, maybe less than 2 hours from Philly is Hershey and Harrisburg, the state capital. Now you're starting to get in. They're Orioles fans, they're Phillies fans, and they're Pirates fans. You start to get closer to central and western Pennsylvania, getting into the Pirates territory. It's all mixed because there's so many huge cities that have teams all within a pretty close geographical area.
I thought we were a melting pot in this area.
No,
wow.
Memphis might be a melting pot, but, I mean, look at it. Our team is the Cardinals are most of the people around here. You're a fan of the Cardinals, both you guys, right?
Yep.
Braves fans are growing, though, but it's still overwhelming.
But look at it's 6 hours to Atlanta.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, you go 6 hours, you go from, like, Boston to Virginia. You've covered, like, 6-7 major league teams.
Yeah.
No,
it's not. Really it's nuts up there.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. Well, Greg, as always, thanks so
great
much
stuff.
For joining us. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll do it again next Thursday.
Thank
sounds
you, Greg.
Great, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, man.
Greg Gaston joining us to talk all things Tigers. And right now, a lot to discuss with football, wrapping up spring practice, basketball with the offseason transfer portal, everything going on, plenty to discuss. But he's brought to you each and every week by Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis. They have serious vans for serious work at 4430 American Way. They're the Mid-South source for cargo, passenger, crew vans, and custom chassis. Need one or a full fleet? New or used? Well, they've got it with Fleet Solutions and custom upfits. Certified techs keep you moving with fast maintenance, repairs, and a large parts inventory. Mercedes-Benz Van Center is your Sprinter van headquarters. Give them a call, 901-237-9302, or online at sprintervans.com. Mercedes-Benz Van Center Memphis, part of the Tag Truck Center family, driven to keep you on the road. Well, let's get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk about what's trending.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10, right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you as we've got about 30 minutes left in today's show. We got to talk about what's trending, and there's a lot of things trending out there, but we did talk about this earlier in the show that Memphis football, we didn't talk a ton. We talked a little Memphis football with Greg Gaston, but Memphis football Spring Fest on Saturday has been postponed to a date in the fall before the season starts due to some inclement weather in the forecast for Saturday, so fans won't get a look at that Tigers team this Saturday. But it has been interesting, an interesting spring as they start to wind down and wrap it up for Memphis as you know, you bring in Charles Huff. He brings in a bunch of players, and one thing about him is he knows how to make headlines. He knows how to get people talking about his program. He's been out there and kind
of. Well, he's a winner.
He is, but you know he knows how to talk the talk and really walk the walk. But at this time, it's a lot more talk. But earlier this week, Jimbo Fisher out at practice with the Memphis Tigers, so bringing in some other coaches that, like he said, just kind of sitting on all their money, bringing them out to practice and maybe getting their input on the team that he has.
I wonder where their paths cross. I know in the Saban world, but I wonder if they were ever on a staff together.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of, you know, Charles Huff and kind of where he's been. Nothing really jumps to the top of my head, but you know, obviously a relationship there, and Jimbo Fisher happy to come to a Memphis practice. So
I don't see anywhere a staff,
no,
but it's a fraternity. They all know each other, especially out of, you know, just one of the most successful coaching trees ever.
Yeah,
Coach Nick Saban's, and everybody that has been out to practice and been around him, it is very Saban-esque.
Oh, it definitely is, and
that's a good one to emulate.
Oh, it is, and even down to the hat that he rocks out at spring practice, very Saban-esque. So, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're on those type of Saban staffs and you kind of get that Saban stamp of approval, you know, even if you haven't worked for some of these other coaches, they have that respect for you and you know, want to
go
come
and
around.
Beat Notre Dame at Marshall, and you have success, really just putting a team together.
Yeah.
On the fly last year at Southern Miss.
Yeah, so it's been really cool. I think, you know, a lot of what you've seen, because, I mean, it feels like throughout spring, there's been probably three or four, you know, kind of press conference quotes from him that have gotten kind of that national traction, which is all great for business to kind of keep Memphis at the forefront.
Near and
nationally.
Far.
Exactly.
Always need to sell tickets and everything.
No, it definitely. And so,
I do agree with Greg, though. There's going to be a lot of interest at the new stadium, and I understand that the high-dollar suites and skybox and stuff have sold.
Yep.
And that's where you generate the big share of your money.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement about this new era of Memphis football under Charles Huff, and it feels like kind of the way he has gone about this so far, really generating a lot of that. And so, you know, obviously with spring winding down, it'll be a little more quiet. until we get to the summer and into the fall. But I just think he's done a really remarkable job. Was excited to get out there on Saturday and get a look at the team, but because of the weather, looks like that will be moved to before. It sounds like they're still going to have something for fans to get out there and get an early look at the team before the season starts, but that will be moved to a later date.
Yeah, the old pad popping days of spring, again, loser eating beanie weenies in the winter eating steak. Long done. Don't want to get anybody hurt. I think he probably likes his team enough to know what he has and get ready for August. The Tigers are playing on that week zero. That week zero, I'm not trying to make it into a New Year's Day Rose Bowl or anything, but there are eight games. That's a big number of games for week zero. I think there's some meat on the bone in a lot of these games. NC State and Virginia playing in Rio de Janeiro.
Love it.
Boy, how would that travel whack me out for the rest of the year, Brian?
Man.
I'd be mumbling and grumbling the rest of the fall, wouldn't I?
You absolutely would be.
North Carolina at TCU in Dublin. We've kind of gotten used to that. Hawaii at Stanford. Mm-hmm. Hawaii landing on a lot of people's radar to maybe be that group of six team. And the Tigers in Vegas. Mm-hmm. All right, let's program it. Let's play TV programmers because all the kickoff times are to be announced. We know North Carolina and TCU, we know that Dublin game goes really early, kind of right out of the mostly, although they have traveled, but I would imagine, I don't know, with Coach Corso now retired, they may travel again, but they would stay back kind of studio game day and throw it to that. But they've done both. They've been live in Dublin, but that will go early, like at 11 o'clock. Do you agree?
Yes.
NC State and Virginia, that can go a little bit later. New Mexico State at Florida State. Boy, it will be blazing hot in Tallahassee if it's not at night.
Yep.
San Jose State at USC. That'll be the last game of the day. Where do you put Tigers at Vegas?
It's a really good question. I could see it maybe being one of those, afternoon games, maybe like a 3 o'clock or something like that type of game. I would really like that. I could see the Rio game between NC State and Virginia maybe falling into, some sort of 5 o'clock window, something kind of around now getting started. So maybe if you add that Memphis and UNLV, starting
three-ish,
around 2:30 or 3, I think that would be
a cool
time to start that game.
There'll be a lot of Tiger fans go to that too.
They definitely will.
Enjoy Vegas.
It'll be a good
and the proviso. If anybody needs my wheelbarrow, just call. I can get it sent out there for you to bring all those winnings home.
No doubt about it. And it feels like this week zero going to be even more big because just kind of breaking within the last hour, the NCAA is recommending an early start to the football season in 2027.
Everybody plays week zero.
Then
that would be week one.
That's right. Yeah, and it looks like kind of start
right,
moving.
Who will be the teams to try to push week zero in what weekend would that be?
I have no clue at all what that would even look like.
But right after the 4th of July?
Well, it feels like it. It feels like we're already close to that right now. But the story over at ESPN says beginning in 2027, college football could have an earlier official start to the season as the NCAA's Football Oversight Committee on Thursday recommended a standard start before Labor Day weekend. Under the proposal, the regular season would begin on the Thursday of what is now called week zero and still end on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Schools would have 14 weeks to schedule 12 games. The model would give teams two open dates and allow for flexibility for potential changes to the postseason. So
here it comes.
Yep, starting 24 the framework.
Teams.
That's right.
Starting in the championship games.
Starting that framework now, which, I mean, I'm glad they're at least getting ahead of it. I'm glad that for once we aren't doing something where we're saying, all right, well, we'll just wait until we get to the season, and then we'll just start making changes and doing whatever we need to do to make it work. I think it's not a bad idea in 2027. Certainly the fans are going to love it because everyone, that week zero, even before that week zero, everybody's just clamoring for football at that point. So nobody's going to be against an earlier start time for the season in terms of the fans. And so I don't hate the idea of let's start rolling rolling out maybe an earlier start. Given
it'll be hot.
No, it'll be hot, but it, you know, it's hot. Most
much
most
hotter
years
is it going to be than a week later.
I mean, it is what it is. You deal with the heat. Brett, you're starting to sound like those PGA Tour players out here.
Well, no kidding. Always, no kidding.
It's always hot. No, I'm joking, but you know, I don't hate the idea.
I'm fine by it, and that's where we're going. And I'm fine, and that will make from end of Super Bowl, which it going later to start of college football. Yeah. Boy, that'll knock off the football countdown.
Yeah, no kidding. It really will. I mean, it'll be just like that.
And we'll really starting, will be.
And
Brian, you know, forever, and I've made this excuse a long time ago from probably 77 prior. Mm-hmm. The opening weekend of college football was second or third weekend in September.
Yeah.
It was rare anything going on Labor Day because the last trip to the lake,
sure,
et cetera. In these parts, you hear you know, a lot of tough hunting. And I'll never get one of your real thin crowd, and Lane was really irritated over it. I mean,
I know what game you're talking about.
Before we go live post game, he's grousing to me about the crowd. And I said, well, Coach, you know, it's a chance for a lot of people last weekend at the lake and to go dove hunting.
Oh,
he goes,
no.
Are 10,000 people dove hunting?
Very popular. I don't know.
Coach, I got no answer for that.
No answer for that.
Not close to that
is,
much.
That is
he was
not,
really irritated.
Oh, yeah, that is not what he wanted to hear after complaining about the
he looked at
crowd.
Me like I was the biggest fool on earth. He said, are that
good.
Many people dove hunting?
That is hilarious. No, they're not. You're right about that. That is really, really funny. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll see an earlier start time to the football season, 2027. That would be next year. So it would be very, very quick.
2027 is next year?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean,
it feels like that's hard to believe.
No, it's crazy. What was it? I was looking at something the other day.
It was just Y2K yesterday.
Well, yeah. I was looking at something the other day. I can't remember for the life of me what it was now, but it was like in 2028. And I was like, oh, man, 2028, that is just a million years from now. Someone was like, no, it's 2 years. And I was like, wait a minute, what? 2 years from now is 2028?
And that's then crazy. When you think about how quickly just 2 years ago, 2024 sped by.
Yeah.
That will, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it certainly will. So, yeah, that will be here before we know
2014 playoff. I want 24 at larges.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be that for fear of lawsuits. So, hear me out, group of six, Tiger teams, et cetera, hear me out. I want the designated spot. They're going to get it for fear of lawsuit, if nothing else. You get one.
Mm-hmm.
You get one. But then – I think if you're a really good team, you're in that 24.
Yeah.
You're in front of that selection committee. And if you're not, then I don't think you're meritorious of being a playoff team.
No, I'm with you. I mean, if you get to that many teams, you know, you look at those. Because even the argument of the protected seeds, most of those protected seeds, whatever conference they come from, are going to be teams that would have already made. And that's kind of why I wish we would go to just the 24 best teams. Because most of those teams that fill those spots would have been in there even if we did the best 24 teams, because they would be in the top 25, the top 24. And so, yeah, I mean, you get that one spot, but, you know, I really do think if you are the top, you know, group of 16, you're going to be in the top 24, and you would have a spot in there if you just did the 24 best. So.
But you know what me and my SEC brethren we're going to be doing.
What's that?
That 8-4 SEC team deserves to be.
Oh, and those
get ready for it.
Oh man, it is going to be hot for sure with all of them 8-4, and that you're right. I mean, that's going to happen. There are going to be fan bases and people saying, "Well, that team really the strength of their schedule." I mean, they absolutely deserve to be.
They got hot when it was at the right time.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be all of that. So we'll get there when we get there. But it does look like this could be the start of seeing that start to take shape. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. And when we return, we'll wrap up today's show with Moe's Crunch Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus. Mm-hmm.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started.
Spanning the globe.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This game has always been called the world's greatest cocktail party. Do you know what is going to happen here tonight?
This is for all the biggest press time.
You are looking live. In your life have you seen anything like that?
Crunch time between the hedges.
The ball game is over, and Memphis has its first win in 16 tries. Its first win ever against its fierce in-state rival, Tennessee.
Goodbye!
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over.
Crunch Time is brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Need catering? Moe's Taco Truck is always ready to cater for you. Just give Jenny Nash a call, 901-606-3172. Moe's.com, it's your go-to for all your Taco Crunch Time emergencies. Well, Brett, what I learned today is that the final night of the play-in is set. The action will be tomorrow night. Again, same time slots that we've seen these last two nights. Hornets and Magic in the first game at 6:30. Warriors and Suns in the second game, both on Prime Video. And Grizzly fans, a lot of them, certainly all of them, rooting for the Hornets. If the Hornets beat the Magic, which right now, even on the road, they're a 3.5-point favorite, that win would mean the Grizzlies would get a second lottery pick with the Magic falling into the lottery with that pick. Now, Warriors and Suns, there will be a lot of people rooting for the Warriors because the same thing, if the Suns lose, it's a little different with the Suns pick, but that could turn into a lottery pick if Memphis gets the Suns pick. So certainly a lot on the line even for the Grizzlies in these two play-in games, because that future, I mean, it's going to be a good pick whether it's end of the lottery or if it is one of those 15, 16, 17 picks that it looks like it could be. But if you're talking about in this draft having two lottery picks, that makes you feel really, really good going into the offseason.
Let's be optimistic about the Grizzlies and the Tigers in this offseason. Look, we want to be straight and we want to be candid with our listeners, but it costs the same thing to be positive as it does to be negative. And this last year, let's be glad it's over and try to turn the page a little bit. What I learned, a week from tonight, the Las Vegas Raiders will take Fernando Mendoza as the number one overall pick, a quarterback. The only other time the Raiders have had the number one overall at all, they took a quarterback. That was Jamarcus Russell. Of the first round picks, not number one overall, Jamarcus Russell was a bust. Todd Marinovich, he was a bust. 1980, they took Mark Wilson. He was a good, efficient, sufficient quarterback. So the pressure's on the Raiders and Mendoza.
Yeah, no, it's a week away, and it's going to be a lot of fun. What I could have done without, Brett, we've talked a lot about LIV Golf and what their future will look like. And, well, they at least played today. That was kind of in question there for a while of if they would play. But I couldn't find it anywhere. Come to find out, four shots into the game. They got four swings you saw on television. Technical difficulties, and from what I've gathered, I don't know if they ever came back on after the technical difficulties. So things go from bad to worse with LIV Golf. Not only now is it affecting kind of what's going on behind the scenes, now it's affecting how you watch it.
You see this? This isn't a sad face.
No, it's not. It's definitely not a sad face.
It's what I could have done without. Perfect segue. It's what I could do without. And it concerns TV. And I know he was wildly popular by a lot of people, but he took the cash. He signed up with them. I hope we never see David Faherty again. Too bad. You made your decision.
Right.
Please, nobody sign him. I thought he was a goofball and overrated to begin with.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me to San Diego for Seattle at San Diego. Seattle 1-7 on the road this year. Padres looking to sweep. They're 12 up, 6 down, trailing the Dodgers, who they're 14-4. They're going to trail them all year.
Well, Brett, we've got football again tonight, the UFL.
We do.
A great game. We do on NFL Network. It's the 0-3 Kings versus the 1-2 Gamblers. But
got that right on not a great game.
Football is football. I'll be watching that. I'll be paying attention to the baseball as well.
Will you live tweet it?
I know.
I will not be live tweeting the UFL game because I really don't know how much I'll actually be watching it.
Tonight, end of the regular season for the hockey.
Yeah.
Finally. When did it start? Last August?
Yeah, it feels like
we'll get to the playoffs. We got playoff picks tomorrow for hockey.
Yeah, we got to make playoff picks. They'll get their playoffs started.
We got to do
Saturday.
NBA picks tomorrow.
We do. It's a lot of picks to go through tomorrow. So it'll be busy, busy, busy. But yeah, they wrap it up tonight. And for me, I have my Boston Bruins sweater on today.
Yeah.
I should have worn
it looks hot.
Well, no, today it's good because it's kind of cold in here, so I've enjoyed it. But should have worn my Kraken sweater. The Kraken, they'll wrap up the season tonight. One more game for them. They're not going to the playoffs, no, but they'll be on ESPN later tonight.
The Mammoth will be in, though.
Yes, they will, and they'll be on ESPN here in a couple minutes at 6:30, I believe it is, ESPN against the St. Louis Blues.
I'm going to be for Buffalo. I'm going to be for Loser Town in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No, I think that's a good idea. Buffalo,
they need a championship.
They do, and they've been really, really bad in hockey, and now have turned a corner into the playoffs. So yeah, it'd be a great
they lost an NBA team that became the Clippers.
Yeah, no, that's not great. That is really some bad luck there. But yeah, it would be fun.
I kind of liked them when they were the NBA. I loved Randy Smith, and I fell in love with Ernie DeGregorio with the Tigers playing Providence.
Interesting. So yeah, but it would be fun watching the Bruins in the playoffs. How about this, Brett? The Buffalo Sabres are playing the Bruins in the playoffs. So how about that? Bruins and Sabres.
They also had Bob McAdoo with
Buffalo
team.
We talked about it earlier, though, a whole lot of baseball during the day. Not a ton tonight. Only two games that have not started. The Orioles and the Guardians, they got started at 5 o'clock. They've been rolling for almost an hour, but we've got Rockies and Astros, and like Brett, you mentioned Mariners and Padres later tonight.
Rockies and Strohs, both struggling.
Yeah, no, both struggling. Both could use a win, and then we'll have the wrapping up of the regular season in hockey, UFL action. So not a ton to keep an eye on tonight, but the baseball should be fun, and then tomorrow we'll get a whole lot of weekend baseball. We'll get the NBA back as the playoffs will really feel like they're starting with play-in that night, and then it'll go into the playoffs the next day. So that's all the time we have. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow afternoon.